Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jo, och välkomna till ett bonusavsnitt av Så vad händer?
Yes sir.
Mitt namn är Amat.
And I'm John Rollins.
Och det här är podden som tar upp allt det intressanta som händer inom populärkulturen, inom politiken och i våra liv. Och idag har vi som sagt ett bonusavsnitt. Vill du berätta, John, vad det är, vad vi kommer att få höra?
Yeah, I recently came back from the US and while I was there I talked to my uncle who spent 15 years in jail. Oof. And I wanted to get his perspective on things. That's a lot that changed while he was in. So.
Ah. Och 15 år, jag kommer inte ihåg nu i intervjun om han sa, förklarade han varför han satt inne?
He was in a drug game. Yeah, he did.
Nej, okej. Ja, och vi skickade också ut att han skulle, att du skulle göra den här intervjun med honom och bad lyssnare, er, skicka lite frågor. Mm. Så du tog upp dem. Eller vad tyckte du om frågorna?
Yeah, I asked them some of the questions, but honestly, some of the questions that were asked seemed pretty disrespectful. So I did not ask him those questions, but it's like, come on, man.
Det var många... jag satt där på, vi satt ju liksom du var i USA och jag var här, så vi snackade inte med varandra om det, men jag kommer ihåg att jag också bara, vissa av frågorna är... Straight to the point på ett kind of disrespectful sätt. Alltså det är mycket frågor om bara så här, är det sant att man man gör varandra till bitches typ i fängelset? Yeah. Eller att man blir en bitch eller att man skaffar sig en bitch. Man bara, så här, det är egentligen din som nummer ett fråga är bara så här, did you rape somebody eller blev du raped in jail?
Yeah.
Det är pretty alltså min teori
invasive,
är bara, ja, det är väldigt least. Invasive. I alla fall som man säger, du vet, nej, jag kan inte säga att jag skulle... Den frågan ställer man ju inte liksom i första taget till någon. Bara så här, fatta traumat som är involverat i det. Om det var så.
Yeah.
Tänk att han bara 15 år. Jag var under 15 år var jag någons bitch.
It's almost feels like a dehumanization of the person. Like it's so insensitive. Like you're not dealing with a person. You're dealing with some idea.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, this is a dude who's... been in my life, you know what I mean, that I know, and I guess that's why I take it more, I took a little, I was taken aback by it, because I didn't expect that from our listeners, to be like, just only, like a lot, it was, 40% of the questions that we got?
Ja, fan nästan mer alltså.
Yeah, var liksom, like, damn, is that the only thing everybody think about?
Men jag tror att det är, alltså min teori är, jag tänker att det kanske inte är, jag tror inte att folk ställer frågan för att vara min, utan snarare för att det säger kanske någonting om hur bortkopplade folk är från fängelset. Alltså dels att de själva kanske inte har suttit inne eller varit häktad eller någonting sånt. Men också att de inte har någon i sin familj som har varit häktad. Så det enda relation de har till fängelse eller folk som sitter häktade och så vidare är typ Oz. Eller lite bara tv-grejer.
Yeah. And that's all sensationalized.
Ja, och då kanske man inte heller ser... Jag vet inte, det blir, jag uppfattar också lite som att man inte ser det som att det här är en riktig... person som ska då alltså sitta och svara på den här frågan for entertainment purposes.
And this is why he I had talked to him about talking to him years ago and he never really wanted to do it. My brother had talked to him about doing something separately too and he was just like, "Nah, man." And he'll like lead you to somebody else. "Man, talk to this guy. He can probably give you what you want." Because he never wanted to get into it like that. But then when I approached him about basically debunking the stigmas and the myths and the, you know, learning aspect of it, then he was more interested.
Okay. So han var inte intresserad av att det skulle vara någon
sensationalized thing. Yeah, he just wanted to, like, you know, maybe hopefully in his eyes, hopefully give somebody perspective to keep somebody from chasing that fast life.
Lärde du dig någonting under intervjun?
Yeah, first that that he felt like that he was that way, like that he had thought about it. I didn't know that he was so focused on getting out and how he was going to be when he got out. I was surprised by that. Because I thought, I don't know, I was kind of shocked that he took like a working man's job when he got out like that. All I knew was this street dude, this hustler, not even hustler, but just dealer, dope dealer. He was like a typical dope dealer with the gold teeth and the chains and the phones and, you know, fast life.
Fast life, och sen som tar färdiga, det slog mig. Ni ska få höra intervjun strax, men det är ett tillfälle när han pratar om att han så här, satt inne liksom i hans slutet av hans 20 års ålder, hela 30 års åldern och sen i början av 40 års åldern. Och man bara, det, när man beskriver det på det sättet, självklart 15 år låter ju också lång tid, men när man säger det på det där sättet, yikes.
That was a shock for
det
me
too. Det är fan tragiskt, alltså, att missa så mycket av ens liv. Men som du säger, han verkade ha en bra outlook nu, och att så här, för jag kan tänka mig, sitter man inne så där länge, fängelset kan också bara bli som en skola där du bara lär dig att fortsätta, eller där du snarare så här, det finns ingen, du kommer ut och du känner att det finns ingen annan option för mig. Det är ingen som kommer vilja ge mig ett jobb. Mitt enda sätt att liksom tjäna pengar nu är att fortsätta med kriminaliteten. Liksom. Yeah. Men det verkar han inte ha känt. Så, great. Honom.
Yeah, man. Well, shout out to Reggie. Thanks so much for doing that. Glad I got a little closer to my uncle. That's cool.
Och shout out till er som ställde frågor. I alla fall ni som ställde de bra frågorna. För det var nog allt som var bra, eller hur? Som du tog upp också.
Very much. So we appreciate y'all.
All right. Bonusavsnitt som sagt. En liten extra treat. Nu kommer intervjun.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So we here.
We here. We here with my uncle, Reggie.
go way, way back.
Way back.
When I was a kid, Reggie was one of the uncles that I could to get away from the wrath of my mother, the most strict of all the siblings.
Strictest mother I've ever seen.
So with Reggie, have some ice cream and stay up late and hang with the kids.
Right.
Shout out to the cousins, Reggie, Julius, Taquandra, Courtney, all the cousins. Yeah, man, I wanted to talk to you. I've talked to the people in Sweden about growing up down here in South Florida and my family and how different it is.
It was nice one time.
Yeah, yeah.
Plenty money at one time. I mean, it's still a lot of things unchanged.
Yeah. But growing up, and because of course I didn't know you before I was born, so I wanted to know like how it was for you growing up in Miami. How was South Miami back in the 70s and 80s?
Wow, that's a good question, man. Miami done changed. It done changed a lot. You know, one time it was plenty money here in Miami. You know, I'm quite sure it still is. It's just, like I say, things have changed. It's just a different era. You know, it's not the same. You know, when I was coming up, you know, you know, every corner you had drug dealers, you know, trying to get money.
Even then, because you graduated, what? 85. Okay, so even then, there was already drugs out there like that.
Yeah, that's all. Miami was the drug capital. Miami was the city. Where, you know, everybody wanted to meet somebody from Miami to get a plug, you know. Now when I came home, you know, it's different. You know, everything was computers. So now everything is fraud, you know what I'm saying? Fraud. Everything is fraud now. You know, kids try to defraud the government however they can. You know, that's, you know, if the government give them money, they know how to go in that computer and get it. You know, we grew up with pencil and pen. You know, we was on the streets.
Okay, so Miami then was the drug game. Now it's the fraud game, and you decided to hop into the drug game, or?
Yeah, I had friends that was in the drug game. You know, everybody was getting money, age 19, 20, driving big Mercedes Benzes, Cadillacs, brand new Cadillacs. And you know, you start hanging around dudes getting money, and you know, you find yourself doing the same thing. So. That's what happened with me. I was hanging around a lot of my friends and saw them get money. And then I had an opportunity to get money and I took a shot at it. You know, I wanted to drive a Mercedes Benz too.
Yeah.
You know,
I think about that when I was a kid, when I think about, you mentioned technology, and I think about the first cell phone I ever saw was yours.
Yeah, I had the big ham bone, the flip phone.
You had it in your back pocket. Yeah, I've never seen that. Like, man, he could walk around with a phone?
Yeah, the total phone, man, you had to be getting some money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, see a dude with a cell phone, man, walk around, man, that dude get money. So It kind of like throwed me when I came home because, you know, when I came home, I started seeing little kids with phone. Like, what the fuck going on? How they can afford that? You know, that bill got to be about $1,800,000, you know. But, nah, that's the new technology. People don't have home phones no more. You know, that's something that you had to get adjusted to. It was, you know, me to look for a job, I had to get my kids and take them out with me because everything was computer and I couldn't talk to nobody. It was my thing. If I could be able to talk to them, I can make something happen, you know. And I had to find that out, you know. And I came home with a plan because I believe, you know, and I came home with a plan.
Wait, before we get there, I want to know, like, I want to tell them, I know, of course, but I want to tell them, how long were you in?
15 years, 4 months. Went in at 27, came home at 42.
Oh, man. Great. I never thought about it like that. I didn't think about the age you were when you went in and the age where you came out.
I seen half of my 20s in there, all of my 30s, and some of my 40s.
I remember visiting frequently.
Right.
When we were down here, we used to visit, go down there, but when you were in Miami, going down to visit. And it was good to see you.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. After 5 years, I said I wasn't going back no more. That was it. I came up with a new plan, you know.
Yeah.
While everybody was out there on the football field in prison, acting like they Michael Jordan on the basketball court, I went to the library and I said, I'm coming out with a new plan, man. You know, I believe a man a man has to have a plan when he come home. I mean, you can build a house without a plan, but you know, if a strong wind come by, it's gonna knock it down. So I came home with a plan. Guys tried to get me to do, you know, teach me the fraud business, show me this, how to get money. I was like, nah, man, that's it. I'm done.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. And it was because you were like, I'm never going back? Or was it because I just want to do things different?
I didn't want to come back. You know, I realized that, you know, you kind of got old in them. You know, dudes coming in, young guys coming in, calling you unk. Yeah. Old school. Old school. The fuck?
So young inmates come in.
And yeah, they call it old school. You know, you like, what? You know, and that was it, man. You know, I realized that, man, I had gray hairs coming out of my asshole. Now I'm like, what the hell? You know, so that right there, man, alone, you know, watching my kids grow up, crying, leaving, that was it. I didn't want to come back anymore. I was saying I'm done, you know. It's got to be a better way. So I said, you know, I came up with a plan of what I'm going to do and how I'm going to live my life. And God was old. I was in federal. So you get to see governors come in there. You get to see senators, all type of big people come in there.
I remember Noriega being there one time when I was
there. Yeah, I used to cut his hair.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I remember you showing me that that was him.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you cut his hair.
Yeah.
I used to cut his hair. He taught no English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to cut his hair. I used to, he was separated by himself. And you had to be a unit manager. I had to be escorted by a unit manager to go in there and cut his hair. But yeah, I used to cut Noriega hair, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you weren't like the, when people see the references to prison that they show on TV and movies and stuff, that's always, or that's a different type of prison, right? That's prison, right?
You can't believe what you really see. I mean, it goes down in there. Prison is just like the streets, man. You just look at it like a big college compound with a gate around it, and you can't go out that gate. You know what I'm saying? You go over there by that gate, you know, that's it for you. But no, prison is not actually what you see on TV now. You know, you got guys got life sentence that just doesn't care no more, and they probably, you know, get upset, get mad, whatever. They done got mad at a basketball game. They don't have nothing to live for. So yeah, they'll act out. You know what I'm saying? But overall, you know, the stuff you see where they raping and people getting raped and stuff like that, man, that was already in them.
Okay.
It was already in them.
So there was a rapist when they came in, you said? It's in the blood.
Yeah. And it came out, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't like what people think. If you was gay, you were gay out here, you would have did it out here, because hardship make a real man stronger. So I know it's a stigma that go with prison, so I don't really, you know, I mean, in fact, I was asked that one time from a girl. I never forget. She wrote me. I sent her a picture, and she was like, I'm like a kid now running to the mailbox, you know, for some candy. And I was like, yeah. I said, dang, she must be trying to come on to me. You know what I'm saying? So she asked me one time, she said, Reginald, I know, you know, I consider myself doing time too, but I go home, because she worked at a prison, in the state prison, and I grew up with her. And she said that it was some questions that she had to ask me. You know what I'm saying? So she said, in time, I will ask you. So I get a letter probably like the next week. And she asked the question. She asked me how I've been with a man before. And I some dudes, I'm young. I used to, what the hell is she think talking about out there with a man? Ain't been with no man. So I used to go to the old schools. I used to hang around a lot of old cats, you know. And I go to Pop Ross, and Pop Ross say, this is just a stigma we'll go with prison, man. I mean, just answer the question and, you know, hit the speed bump and just keep going. So, you know, I hit the speed bump and told her, say, hey, you know, roll her back, you know, hardship make a real man strong. I'm still the man that I once was when I was outside. You know what I'm saying? And then Pop told me, now you opened the door for you could ask her a few questions, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, and I asked her, and she told me, yeah, she used to try to satisfy her man. You know, she wasn't gay, but no women, but that's, he liked her to do certain things. So she tried to satisfy him like that. So, you know, I just learned, man, not to get mad, you know, about people. Questions. Yeah, questions. You know, just answer them, and that's it.
Okay.
It don't bother me, because that's what they see on TV. But it's not like that.
I tell the story sometimes about how, I don't know if you know this either, but you taught me how to use three-way dialing.
Really? Yeah. I don't remember that.
You taught, because grandmother, she had that old phone, and I was at grandmother's house, and you called, and you wanted me to connect you with somebody else.
Right.
And you talked me through it. I ended up hanging up on you like two times before I got it right. And but I remember you telling me to call somebody and then put the phone down. I remember that.
Right, right.
And I did it. I actually followed the instructions. And I don't even know what y'all talk about. I would come check. If you're still talking, I'll put it down. Come if it's you know, if you hung up, then I hang up.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was a long time ago. but yeah, thank you for teaching me that. But it made me wonder, there's another thing that goes along with prison. Is the women that are attracted to inmates.
A human. And it happens. Some women are weak, some women are strong. And that happens, you know. Sometimes guys that got all buffed up and built their bodies up.
I remember you had the tattoo and you said you were working out to make the chain. You had the broken chain and you worked out to make the chain break
big,
further for
us. Yeah, I was real big.
But I was thinking about that. If anybody reached out that was... that you didn't know, that just random. Did anybody randomly hit you up, attracted to you?
Yeah, you know, it was funny, man. You asked me that because, you know, you had to really be in that circle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And those dudes, they chase them women, they gun them down. You know what I mean? Gun them down, really? Mean is they jack off on them and stuff like that. See, I know one of those type of dudes.
Hold on. They jack off on the women?
Yeah. They, you know, they do crazy stuff. Man, there's so much crazy stuff going on that make you laugh, man, you know? And I could tell you one time, man, I was going into the laundry room. You know, we used to have the laundry room, and the officer station used to be right there in front. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So dudes swear that they were Mac daddies. You know, they go over there and talk to the woman, you know what I'm saying?
But who's the woman?
That'd be the officer.
Okay, so it's like a correction officer.
Yeah, okay. They'll ease their way up on them, you know what I'm saying, okay. And talk to them. And sometimes those women, inhuman, they have problems out here with their men. Or some of them might have so low self-esteem. So a dude in there, he's going to listen. He's going to listen to everything you got to say. He's going to listen to the woman. And they play up on him and they laugh at him. And even if it ain't funny, they make it, you know what I'm saying? Make it seem like it's funny. Because they're trying to get up under the woman. And then, you know, like I said, I was had the officer station used to sit right in front of the laundry room, you know. And lady go in there, she's smelling good and whatever, you know what I'm saying? These dudes, they swear they Mac daddy, they try to get up on them, you know, con they way, they call them con men. So one dude, he had to turn the light off inside the laundry room, you know what I'm saying? Turned the light inside the laundry room, the lady was sitting over there in the office, he looking at, he in the laundry room, he gunning her down, jacking on himself, you know what I'm saying? So I happened to go in the laundry room with my clothes to do my laundry. So I flip the light on. I see food in her butt naked. I'm like, man, what the fuck you doing? He talking about, shh, get him. I said, man, that's some bullshit, man. Come on, bro. So
I thought the person was involved.
No, man. They be like that, man. They do that. And they do that. And you know, some women, they get caught, you know what I'm saying, having sex with an inmate or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can remember a time. I used to wear this oil, so I used to, you know, me, I always like to smell good, even out here, you know, that's just who I am, I love cologne. So CK1 came out, and I had the CK1, I'm big, I'm buffed up, you know what I'm saying? So I had to go to team meeting. Every 6 months, we go to team, they tell us how we doing and what we need to do and stuff like that, though. So the lady, I ain't gonna call her name, but she bypassed me. So she was always treat inmates real cool, so she bypassed me, and she said to me, she said that, smell good, make me want to eat you up, so I didn't really catch on to what she said. I said, did she just say that? You know, I was like, did she just say that? Nah, she didn't say that. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't think she said that. So I said, yeah, you know, like that. Yeah, I ain't, you know, like I said, I'm not into that. So I was still waiting in line. So once I went in the team meeting told me to go pick up my papers, have the secretary to print the papers out. You know what I'm saying? And they'll give me the copies. So I went over there. You know what I'm saying? I said, excuse me, so-and-so. They told me to come over here and get my paperwork, you know, how you print it out, my team paperwork print it out. So she stood up. When she stood up, she had some baby powder, some powder on the back of her dress. So I said, excuse me. I said, you got baby powder on the back of your dress? She said, what is that? I said, it's back there. She said, well, knock it off. I say, oh, no. No, I know you didn't want me to knock it off. She say, just knock it off. So she stood up and it was on her ass, butt cheeks, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I said, I don't think you want me to knock it off. It's right there. I'm pointing at it. It's right there, you know? So she said, no, knock it, just knock it off. So I tapped it. I said, tap. I said, it's off now. Because I didn't know what was going on, you know what I'm saying? So like I say, you know, if it would have been one of them hunters, they would have been
one of the guys.
Man, I say, man, I don't need no trouble. I just need to go home, man.
So you could get in trouble though
for doing that.
Yeah.
Actually, no. You won't get in trouble. She'll get in trouble. They'll send you away. You'll go in confinement, and they'll send you to another institution. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they'll send you to another institution. But they'll fire. She can do time. I know one officer, his brother was an officer, and his brother was working into the women's facility. Actually, when he got caught, he came to Miami, but he had 20 years for having sex with a woman. The girl held the semen in her mouth. And he was found guilty. And he did. He was 20 years. I told him that had to be some good pussy, dog. That's
got to be. I know. Nothing worse than that, man. 20 years?
Bro, listen.
It must have been more. It must have been something else, too. Sexual assault type thing. Using his power or something like that.
No. That's
consensual. Why should you? Okay.
You can't do it.
Oh, wow. 20 years. A long
20
time.
Years. He got 20 years for having sex. He went to trial.
Man.
They probably gave him a plea. And, you know, he took it to the door. So if you go to the door with the government, United States government, forget about it. They're gonna nail you to the cross, bro.
Did you ever get any disciplinary action like that? Anything like is that a true thing? Go to the hole or go to confinement, solitary confinement? Did you ever get anything like that?
Yeah. I done did that for fighting.
Oh, fight. Oh, yeah. I forgot about fighting.
Yeah. You go to the hole for fighting. It's about 8x10 room. You got to just stand there. You 23-hour lockdown, depending on what the what's called. You might have to stand up for. They might give you 20-some days.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
The hours inside a cage, you know. But
like just to walk around.
I didn't take that, man, because when I didn't win the confinement for fighting, I just stayed in my room and got me a book and read it. You know what I'm saying? Did exercise until I go to sleep, you know. Other than that, I couldn't do it. I couldn't walk around in the cage like I was a dog. You know what I'm saying? It didn't make no sense. I just stayed inside. But it's a cage. It's got three walls and a fence up top so the sun can come through. And they open up the cage and put you in like an animal. So that's jail in jail. That's what they call jail. Because where we at, we're not in jail. We out on the compound. You move the way you want to move, like a big old college compound with a gate around it. So you're free to go to the library. You're free to go to the chow hall. You're free to go on the rec yard.
Oh, so you can go get food whenever you want.
They feed you three times, and it's like a real cafeteria, like a school cafeteria. You know, they feed you three times, and they fed you good, but now, you know, a lot of stuff has changed. A lot of stuff.
I always been impressed by how you got out and had like head down, got straight to it. Like, what was your mindset when you came out? Besides, I'm not going back. Like,
that was the plan. that's what I'm preparing myself for, man. This is what I was preparing myself for, the streets. You know, open the door, let's dance, let's move. Give me the microphone. You know what I'm saying?
I like
put me
it.
On stage, coach, you know. This is what I plan to prepare for, man. This is it. I ain't letting nobody deviate me from the plan. You know, I talked to a lot of big people and you know, that was senators and governors, and man, I was like, man, how you get those houses? How you do this? And they were saying credit. Mm. They say, man, listen, it's credit. You could build a millionaire, but here in this country, if you don't have credit, you ain't nothing.
Yeah, that's
true. This country is designed on credit, and you know, that's the first thing I did. I stuck to the plan and did what they told me to do, and I you know what, man, I hung around like a lot of old coons, you know, that taught me patience. When a man establishes patience and self-control, time becomes his friend and not his enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always get in trouble on our wants, not our needs. You know, because we got everything we need. We get up in the morning time, we got good health. And, you know, you can't trade that. You can't trade that. I tell you what, you got dudes, people right now on a sick bed that's dying, that's got millions of dollars. They'll trade that right now to be in your place with no money. You can't buy this. So, you know, you got to consider you rich already. You rich. So, you know, that's what I used to listen to. You know, I stay with a lot of old coons if it made sense. I applied it to my game. And this is where I'm at now, man. Beautiful home.
Yeah, beautiful home.
Nice cars. Yeah, man. This is it. I'll take y'all out there, let y'all see my home, I'll let y'all see my car.
Yeah, yeah, we can walk around and check it out.
Yeah.
Man, I'm proud of you, Reggie.
Yeah, I built it, man, ground up. You know what I'm saying? When you build the ground, they can't take it. I don't worry about nobody coming to get it no more. That's it, man. That's it. I love it. Won't change it for nothing in the world, bro.
What was the biggest, once you got out, what was the biggest, shock to you? Like, just something that happened in the way society was at the time when you got out. Like, I'll give you an example. My old law teacher told me that he knew a dude that was locked up for a while and he got out. And that soda can you have right there, he didn't know. They had invented that while he was in, so he didn't know how to open a soda can, something we all like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Something we all take for granted. Was there a moment like that for you?
No, just the way the city had changed. You know, okay. Like how you apply for jobs, you know, when I was out, you apply for jobs and, you know, you go in, you'd be able to talk to somebody, but now everything computer. You don't get a chance to see nobody. Everything technology is on computer. You don't, you know, they'll call you. You know, it's better when you, people can see you. They know who they talking to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's not like that now. You know what I'm saying? You got to go on the computer and hope you get a call.
That's true. That's so true. That is something.
Yeah. So that was my biggest what you call them when I came home. But you know, like I say, you know, I it wasn't really I guess I had a lot of luck. I had a lot of luck because believe it or not, my first job working with Flower Bakery was in 2008. I was making 40-some thousand.
That's good.
Come home.
Yeah.
And I got that job through someone that was in prison with me.
Really? I was going to ask you that next.
So, yeah, I went to a job agency, and Spanish guy was in there. He had did time with me in Miami. He remembered me. Like I told you, I was big. So he pulled me to the side, me and Reggie Jr., he told me, he said,
shout out to Lil Reggie.
Yeah, he said, Brown, he said, man, stay right there. He said, I got something for you. And we went in and he told me, he said, I got something for you. He said, listen, I don't know if they hire or convict the felons. He said, but I'm going to put you in the door. Okay. So I said, man, all you got to do is put me in the door. He said, well, I'll call you at 4:00. He called me at 4:00. He said, listen, I got two spots. Got one for 4:00, one for 8:00. You said,
oh, shit.
Right. He said, one for 4:00, one for 8:00. He said, you tell me which one you want, and the one you want, the other one I'll give to your son. I said, I need to be in the morning time, because I knew that's when all the big dogs working. Mm-hmm. you know, and Reggie got 4 o'clock, I got 8 o'clock. And I'll never forget, Flower Bakery was putting they designing their whole floors back over. And they had like 60 temps in there. 60. And they had been doing this, working on this project for 6 months. Mind you, I only had been there 1 week. But I was really like a standout because I was like real big, you know what I'm saying? So guys were looking at me. I was working. I was just working, man. This is what I would, it was what was hard for them was easy for me because I hadn't been in prison for 15 years. This is all I did. I worked out. This was what I do. You understand what I'm saying? This is what they asked me to do. It's what I do, you know, work out. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't going to get tired.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy was like, hey, Brown, we need you on the bread line to help so-and-so out. So I go on the bread line out. Hey, Brown, I'm sorry about that, man, but we need you, man, to pull bread off the line, man. He said, man, the guys can't keep up pulling the bread off the line. I said, man, okay, boom, I'm pulling my bread off the line. I'm just showing out, you know. So I heard some guys one day say, man, he going to be tired. He pulling like that, man, by 3 o'clock. Now, remind you, going at 8 o'clock. I get off before he say, man, by 1 or 2, he going to be pooped out. You'll see. Not me. I was man, I'm just getting started. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's nothing. So y'all been down. No, I've been doing this for 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, dang, cat don't get tired. So one day, one of the supervisors came to me, a dude named Derek Baker came to me. He said, walk with me. I walked with him. So he said, man, listen. He said, you see the big man looking out the window? I said, yeah. He said, he was just not looking at you. He said, you a keeper. I said, for real? He said, yeah. He said, man, they going to call you in to offer you a job. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, listen. He said, just be prepared now when they call you in. Just keep doing what you're doing. So, you know, when guys standing around, I was looking like I was working, picking up stuff. And I was just making stuff because I knew how to, you know, what to do. You know what I'm saying? Don't stand around. Act like you're doing something. So I stand around, act like I'm doing something, you know what I'm saying? I don't stand, they not doing nothing. I'm finding something to do, you know what I'm saying? And I just stayed by myself. And they offered me a job and told me, hey, listen, you know, how you like it? I said, I love it. He said, if I give you a drug test right now, you pass? I said, I pass it. He said,
hey, you never done any drugs?
No, I don't drink, man. This is it. This is my habit. So he said, is this hard work? I said, it's not hard at all, sir. I said, well, it's hard. It's waking up in the morning time and don't have no money in my pocket. Yeah. So he said, I like that. So yeah. About a week later, they announced that they're going to get rid of all attempts for the project will finish. They had 3 openings. I remind you, it was 60 people. Mm-hmm. He said they had 3 openings. And they said one of them openings has been took already. So we only got 2 more, right? Guys didn't know what was going on. And they said, Reginald Brown got that. They looking like, what? This dude just came. He only been here like 2 weeks. He just came, man. So, you know.
Why'd you call it luck, though?
Right.
It don't feel like that was luck. You called it luck.
Nah, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Give yourself some credit, man.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? God with you, who could be against you? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
you're right. It wasn't luck. It wasn't luck, man. It was hard work and determination.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They locked my mind. They locked my body up, man. But I
never locked your mind up.
No, they never do that, man.
Exactly. That's
free. And I tell any dude, though, man, you know what I'm saying? They can lock your body up, bro, but they can't lock this up. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
A lot of our viewers and listeners and whatnot are young. And what advice would you give in general to young people, being that you've seen so much and been through so much in life?
Don't take your freedom for granted, man. You know, don't take chances with your life. You know, I mean, you have to take chances, but make sure that they're well calculated and the odds are highly in your favor. When you do, don't take this out here for granted, man. It's real. You know, they'll take you and throw away the key on you. The only thing, only people care is the people that love you. You know what I'm saying? So that's the advice I give them, my sons, my kids, everybody, bro. Don't take this real out here, man. I ain't gonna tell you, you ain't missing nothing. It ain't nothing like waking up in the morning time, eating the food you love, and seeing the people that you want to be around and you love. You know what I'm saying? Nothing like that, bro. Can't get that back.
I appreciate it, man. I got to tell you one last thing, though. Our listeners know about this. I'm going to tell you something I never told you.
Okay.
But I told our listeners this one thing.
You stole from me?
No, I ain't never stole from you, man. You going to punch me in my face on camera? I don't even know if it's worse than that. You're just going to get a kick out of it.
What is that?
I don't want to say any names, but one of your girlfriends in the past I forget, her and mom had some beef, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then mom got a hold of some of her dirty pictures.
Man, that's crazy because, yeah, that was crazy, man. I know how they did. I know how she got a hold of them.
So mom got a hold of some pictures, right?
Right.
And then, you remember we had that, our uncle lost that house and we were living there?
Right.
So we were living there and I still wanted the bus to drop us off. So I was just, to drop me off. So instead of, I didn't want people to know that it was an abandoned house. So I was like, all right, see y'all later. I went to the abandoned house and I found them pictures. And I always thought she was fine. But, and this is a whole nother long story you ain't know about, but I never masturbated as a kid.
Right.
Because it's partially because of mom. I was like scared. A whole bunch of stuff going on. Long story though. So I ain't know what to do, but I remember seeing the picture and she was so fine. Yeah. I was like, I gotta do something. I knew masturbation was I didn't want to do that. So what I did was I took the picture. I was scrolling through the pictures or flipping through the pictures, and then I just took my dick out and put it on the picture.
You want to take it? You can see her now. You don't want to take it out. She don't look the same now.
No,
I saw her. I saw her. She don't look the same, man.
Well, I thought I should tell you. I should share that with you. You share so much with me. I feel like I could share something like that with you.
That ain't nothing, man. You know, it is what it is. She was fine. She was bad. Was. The key word was.
You still cut hair? Like, could you hook me up? I need to get my beard right.
Yeah, man. I still got it in me. I don't do it for a living no more, but yeah. Yeah, I still got it. I'm gonna have you tight, man.
Yeah, hook it up. I got the show tonight. All right, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thanks everybody for checking out me and my Uncle Reggie. Shout out to the whole family. And hopefully y'all can get to know my family a little bit more too as I keep doing this stuff. So y'all take it easy and we'll catch y'all.
My love.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.